on President Xi as a great leader. The United States does not seek conflict with any other nation. We desire peace, cooperation, and mutual gain with all. But I will never fail to defend America's interests. One of the greatest security threats facing peace-loving nations today is the repressive regime in Iran. The regime's record of death and destruction is well known to us all. Not only is Iran the world's number one state sponsor of terrorism, but Iran's leaders are fueling the tragic wars in both Syria and Yemen. At the same time, the regime is squandering the nation's wealth and future in a fanatical quest for nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them. We must never allow this to happen, to stop Iran's path to nuclear weapons and missiles. I withdrew the United States from the terrible Iran nuclear deal, which has very little time remaining, did not allow inspection of important sites, and did not cover ballistic missiles. Following our withdrawal, we have implemented severe economic sanctions on the country. Hoping to free itself from sanctions, the regime has escalated its violent and unprovoked aggression. In response to Iran's recent attack on Saudi Arabian oil facilities, we just imposed the highest level of sanctions on Iran's central bank and sovereign wealth fund. All nations have a duty to act. No responsible government should subsidize Iran's bloodlust. As long as Iran's menacing behavior continues, sanctions will not be lifted. They will be tightened. Iran's leaders will have turned a proud nation into just another cautionary tale of what happens when a ruling class abandons its people and embarks on a crusade for personal power and riches. For 40 years, the world has listened to Iran's rulers as they lash out at everyone else for the problems they alone have created. They conduct ritual chants of death to America and traffic in monstrous anti-Semitism. Last year, the country's supreme leaders stated Israel is a malignant cancerous tumor that has to be removed and eradicated. It is possible, and it will happen. America will never tolerate such anti-Semitic hate. Fanatics have long used hatred of Israel to distract from their own failures. Thankfully, there is a growing recognition in the wider Middle East that the countries of the region share common interests in battling extremism and unleashing economic opportunity. That is why it is so important to have full, normalized relations between Israel and its neighbors. Only a relationship built on common interests, mutual respect, and religious tolerance can forge a better future. Iran's citizens deserve a government that cares about reducing poverty, ending corruption, and increasing jobs, not stealing their money, defund, and massacre abroad and at home. After four decades of failure, it is time for Iran's leaders to step forward and to stop threatening other countries and focus on building up their own country. It is time for Iran's leaders to finally put the Iranian people first. America is ready to embrace friendship with all who genuinely seek peace and respect. Many of America's closest friends today were once our greatest foes. The United States has never believed in permanent enemies. We want partners, not adversaries. America knows that while anyone can make war, only the most courageous can choose peace. For this same reason, we have pursued bold diplomacy on the Korean Peninsula. I have told Kim Jong-un what I truly believe, that like Iran, his country is full of tremendous untapped potential. But that to realize that promise, North Korea must denuclearize. Around the world, our message is clear. America's goal is lasting. America's goal is harmony. And America's goal is not to go with these endless wars, wars that never end. With that goal in mind, my administration is also pursuing the hope of a brighter future in Afghanistan. Unfortunately, the Taliban has chosen to continue their savage attacks. We will continue to work with our coalition of Afghan partners to stamp out terrorism, and we will never stop working to make peace a reality. Here in the Western Hemisphere, we are joining with our partners to ensure stability and opportunity all across the region. In that mission, one of our most critical challenges is illegal immigration, which undermines prosperity, rips apart societies, and empowers ruthless criminal cartels. Mass illegal migration is unfair, unsafe, and unsustainable for everyone involved. The sending countries and the depleted countries, and they become depleted very fast, but their youth is not taken care of, and human capital goes to waste. The receiving countries are overburdened with more migrants than they can responsibly.
Good evening, everybody. We are listening to President Trump speak to the United Nations September 24th, and we will start the prayer call in about 4 minutes.
Nearly one-third of women who make the journey north to our border are sexually assaulted along the way. Yet here in the United States and around the world, there is a growing cottage industry of radical activists and non-governmental organizations that promote human smuggling. These groups encourage illegal migration and demand erasure of national borders. Today I have a message for those open border activists who cloak themselves in the rhetoric of social justice. Your policies are not just. Your policies are cruel and evil. You are empowering criminal organizations that prey on innocent men, women, and children. You put your own false sense of virtue before the lives, well-being, and countless innocent people. When you undermine border security, you are undermining human rights and human dignity. Many of the countries here today are coping with the challenges of uncontrolled migration. Each of you has the absolute right to protect your borders. And so, of course, does our country. Today, we must resolve to work together to end human smuggling, end human trafficking, and put these criminal networks out of business for good. To our country, I can tell you sincerely, we are working closely with our friends in the region, including Mexico, Canada, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Panama, to uphold the integrity of borders and ensure safety and prosperity for our people. I would like to thank President Lopez Obrador of Mexico for the great cooperation we are receiving and for right now putting 27,000 troops on our southern border. Mexico is showing us great respect, and I respect them in return. The U.S., we have taken very unprecedented action to stop the flow of illegal immigration. To anyone conducting crossings of our border illegally, please hear these words. Do not pay the smugglers. Do not pay the coyotes. Do not put yourself in danger. Do not put your children in danger. Because if you make it here, you will not be allowed in. You will be promptly returned home. You will not be released into our country as long as I am President of the United States. We will enforce our laws and protect our borders. For all of the countries of the Western Hemisphere, our goal is to help people invest in the bright futures of their own nation.
Good evening, everyone. We're listening to President Trump speak at the United Nations September 24, and we'll start the call in just about a minute here. We'll let a few more people come in.
For all. And they are waiting also to be pursued. Throughout the hemisphere, there are millions of hardworking, patriotic young people eager to build, innovate, and achieve. But these nations cannot reach their potential if a generation of youth abandon their homes in search of a life elsewhere. We want every nation in our region to flourish and its people to thrive in freedom and peace. In that mission, we are also committed to support.
All righty. Welcome in, everybody. Good evening to the prayersfor45.com call for Sunday night, September 29th. It's great to assemble again, as we do every Sunday and Thursday at 6 Pacific and 9 Eastern. And we come together every Sunday and Thursday to do two prayers, have a little discussion around those things going on in our country and in the world that affect our president, that affect our country, and that affect our lives. And by coming together, we all understand the power of group prayer and how group prayer takes prayer to another level, not arithmetic growth, but geometric growth. When you come together as a group of people and pray in unison. And tonight we'll do our two prayers as always, our first prayer for President Trump and our second prayer. Betty will lead us, will continue to pray for the restoration of the rule of law. It's my honor to bring in Pastor Joseph to lead our first prayer. Good evening, Pastor Joseph.
Good evening, Scotty.
How are you doing tonight? In your world?
Yeah, going good. Good Sunday, good services.
Yep. Excellent. So President Trump is under attack again tonight. I got a couple of calls and texts. I was not watching. I choose not to watch 60 Minutes any longer. Used to be a part of our life in my home growing up, the men and oftentimes the women, they traditional roles, the men would gather around the TV and the women in the kitchen doing their thing, but our family got together on Sunday night to watch a program that was sacrosanct, and now I'm regretful to say they're nothing but part of the lives of the mainstream media, as tonight they worked on the Ukraine story and very much made President Trump, from the text I got, look like a creep and a criminal, and it's Russia 2.0, so we have a lot of reasons to pray, don't we, Pastor Joseph?
Oh, we do, Scotty. If I let myself focus on the things that are happening in the media, I think I'd be undone by the corruption. And I agree. We used to 60 Minutes was a pretty important show for my family as a young man too. And it's just there doesn't seem to be a stable source of information other than going directly onto the internet ourselves and pursuing truth that way. And that's unfortunate that there's such a soiling or a defiling in what should be unbiased news.
Right. Well, it's anything but unbiased, but we are more powerful in our prayer than they are in their lives. So with people like you leading us in prayer, we are turning the corner and accomplishing our goals. And I'll give you the floor to lead our first prayer.
Absolutely. You know, there's a passage in the scripture, and Psalm 91 is probably one of my favorites, talking about if 1,000 were to fall at our right and 10,000 at our side, it would not come near us. But there's another passage that says, when one prays, 1,000 flee, when 2, 10,000. And it's a model. It's not just a specific application. It talks about when we come together in number, not only is God in the midst of us, but we can, by faith, come together in agreement as though touching. And he said he's committed to accomplish what it is we've come together for. And so there is power in number. And he's wanting to partner with us that way. So absolutely, Father, we come tonight with hearts open. We yield to you this evening, Lord, as we come into your presence. We're grateful that heaven's been opened to us and we can come boldly before your throne of grace. We recognize tonight, Lord God, you are the righteous judge, and that it's your decree, it's your law that's established in the land, and that overthrows every other law, every other injustice. And Lord, we call out to you tonight, and according to your word, on behalf of the leaders of our nation, specifically President Trump, the POTUS, Lord, asking, Lord, that even as he's the man of your choosing, that you would continue to lead his heart. And Lord, we want to speak scripture over our president tonight, Lord, and ask that you would give him wisdom according to your scriptures, that if we would ask for wisdom, you'd give it liberally. And it really doesn't say that we have to ask it for ourselves, Lord. So we want to come in agreement tonight to ask for wisdom, for strategy, for stealth, Lord God, for your insight supernaturally to be able to future pace his adversaries and really that one who's behind the rest, Lord God, the one behind the deep state, the one behind the heinous things that are going on, the one behind the attempt to overthrow he and his calling, he and his family. And Lord, we plead your blood over his family tonight and over him. We plead your blood over the vice president and his family, Lord God, those who have aligned themselves with our president, God. We ask, as we pray for President Trump tonight, that same blessing would be extended to those that are in agreement with your purpose and your plan for this nation and the earth. Father, we believe that he's been appointed for such a time as this and as a man of your choosing, that you've exalted and positioned him. And Father, we recognize there's more happening in his course, in his action, than we've seen in any other presidency. He's doing what he says, and that has stirred a lot of hostility. But we thank you that wisdom attends to him. We pray, as Paul did, that you give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that he's moving forward, that the eyes of his understanding would be opened, and he'd be able to move to accomplish what's still ahead of him. Lord, we agree for the protection and of his health and his safety, even as he's not wrestling just with people, but the scripture is clear to say that he doesn't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality and power. So as we've pledged your blood over him, we ask for you to keep him in his way and that you give him strength. Father, where other presidents have gone through the course and come out looking like they've aged years beyond the office, we would ask that you'd attend to this president. He'd actually come out with youthfulness extended according to Psalm 103, that you'd fill his mouth with good things so that his youth would be renewed like the eagle. Lord, even as he's a man of your choosing, we'd ask that you would sustain him in your hand. You said that you hold him as he's declared Messiah as his Savior, Yeshua as his Savior, and as he's declared you as his God. You see, you hold him in your hand and that no one can take him out of your hand. Lord, we agree for that to be your purpose, that no one be able to distract him or keep him from your purpose being accomplished through him. And Lord, that as he's keeping that standard up, that you give him clarity of insight as to what the standard really is about and how to implement it, that he would be quick to hear your voice, Lord God, waiting on you to direct him before he'd make those choices. And Father, where there is error, where mistakes have been made, if there are those, and we know that we walk in mistakes every day, and it's by your grace that you keep us, Father, where he may have erred, that you would redeem those mistakes and give him a wisdom and a counsel as to how to address it in a way that would encourage the heart of the people, and at the same time create an even greater standard of righteousness and purpose in humility. that he would be found strong. Your word says that if we'll humble ourselves in your sight, you'll exalt us in due season. And Lord, we recognize he's in that season. Would you keep him in that place? Lord, we ask for your perfect peace, that peace that passes all understanding, Lord God, that it would guard his heart and his mind in Messiah and Yeshua. And that as he would choose not to walk in anxiety and fear, he would find your courageousness, that he would find the courage of Joshua and Caleb, and the strength as well that Caleb had. He said he was as strong at 85 as he was when he was 40. Would you give him new strength, fresh strength? Lord, as he's walking in your plans, that you'd bring the prosperity to America that you've intended America to come into, the restoration in America that you've intended to restore us with, that you would intervene with the fullness of life and purpose as he has invited you again and called us a Christian nation. He's made declaration as president. Lord, would you honor those declarations, and would you restore a right spirit in America where we'd be restored to the order of law, to the Constitution, to that foundation that was established by our founding fathers, those that have gone on before this one. And as he's honored them in his posture and his stance and his action, Lord God, that he in turn would be honored. And that, Lord, you would cause, according to Romans 16:20, for the enemy Satan to be crushed underneath his feet, as you would cause the deep state and those who would. It's not about a position, Lord God. It's about integrity. It's not about a political agenda or proposition or a bill. It's about truth and equity and justice. Lord, would you cause for his enemies to be undone and crushed underneath his feet as he's walking with you in your plan and your will? And Lord, we'd agree that would you turn the hearts of those who are walking in darkness so that they would become an ally as opposed to an enemy. They would come into an agreement and unity to see the nation restored as opposed to opposing this man you've called into this position for the season. We bless him tonight. We bless his marriage. We bless his family, the unity of both the immediate family and the extended. Would you bless their marriage as well for sons and daughters, Lord God, keeping them in their way as they've chosen quite a challenging road to walk for the purposes of seeing America great again. So we bless our president. Trust him into your care, Lord God, and ask that you help him to navigate this course that he's in. Father, we're in agreement for a second term. We're in agreement for favor, that these things that are being used to try to undermine his plan, Lord God, that you'd actually turn them around to strengthen his platform, to strengthen his perspective, to strengthen his candidacy as he would come into 2020, that you'd turn these things around to give him an even stronger victory, a stronger platform, and even greater power as he come into a second term to accomplish even greater things. For your glory, we ask it in your son's name.
Well, thank you, Pastor Joseph. And for those that are new on the call and haven't heard before, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you, your church online?
Sure. The church's name is The Savior's Realm. And it's just that .org, thesaviorsrealm.org. And you know, we are in Crestline, California, if anybody's close locally, and meet on Sundays and Wednesdays, Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesdays at 5:30 if you'd want to come and join us for a service.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, I'm going to bring Betty in. And Betty, I can tell you're out and about in your car, aren't you?
Yes. How did you know?
Well, I can kind of hear that sound you only hear when someone's driving, but we're grateful that you joined us, and we'll lead our second prayer and continue to pray for the reset of the rule of law.
Yeah.
I just want to point to three obvious things that we know tell us our prayers are working, and that the reset of the rule of law is not only well underway, but a lot of it has been accomplished. Specifically on borders, closing our borders, on immigration, enforcing immigration rules. There's still some loopholes that need to be addressed by Congress, but the Trump administration is enforcing immigration. They're enforcing our borders, and of course the wall is being built. So very important to the rule of law. Now if we can deal with these sanctuary cities, we'll be in good shape. The second thing that is so critical to our rule of law, President Trump has historically appointed over 150 judges to our court system. We could do nothing to clean up this country with crooked judges, and the cabal and central bankers and their criminal sycophants had stacked the deck. The last many presidents stacked the deck with criminal corrupt judges, and President Trump has removed them, 150 judges. It's not completely done, but we're well on our way to having an honorable, fair, and law-enforcing court system. And, of course, there's many signs of President Trump draining the swamp, whether it be his executive order that we've talked about, December 21st, 2017, dealing with international criminal human abuse and criminal corruption, and giving the this administration the right to confiscate the wealth of the criminals, the international criminals. So much is happening, Betty, and we follow these things and we continue to pray, because we're on our way to getting the rule of law back and getting our sovereignty back. What do you think?
Amen. How many times I remember praying for exactly that, that what, you know, in order for the reset to really happen, you know, you've got to tap into all of the areas. Not only do you need to, you know, to expose the evil, but you need honest judges who will prosecute the evil. So we've been praying for that for quite a while, and just seeing how many judges and that he's appointed, and even in the Supreme Court, and we're praying that some more will even he'll be able to appoint some more. So, yeah, I mean, just the fact that we've got the FISA report coming out, and we're praying that that's going to really make its way. A lot of investigations. Hillary is not going to get away with, I don't think. I think that'll be exposed. Whether she'll be prosecuted or not is another thing, but I think the truth of that's going to come out. But that they're not letting up is also encouraging. We are seeing the reset starting to happen. So more things need to happen, and that's why we're here praying.
Indeed, and I do believe there'll be prosecutions, indictments and prosecutions of big names, and I am always of the opinion that sometimes we gotta, as they say, put your money where your mouth is, and I have quite a few bets out there for charity. All of them were made in the interest of donating money to a charity should I lose the bet, but they're all, I am betting on Hillary, Brennan, Comey, and Clapper, and Obama. I'm betting on all of them being arrested, at least indicted and charged. Some people think that arresting and charging and putting Obama in jail would be somehow against this country's method of operation, that our modus operandi doesn't allow us to put past presidents in jail, but I believe that nobody is safe, and I do think we're going to see arrests regardless of when they surface. I think we're going to see, with that FISA report, I think we'll see Comey come. Comey will go first. I think they'll send a message to the world when they release that FISA report and show that President Trump was under attack from the Obama intelligence agencies, and all of those agency heads were involved. Comey, Brennan, Clapper, they were all out to get Trump. They conspired in an attempted coup. And because our president is anointed by God and so many people like us are praying for him, they never got to him. So we shall continue those prayers, Betty, and you will lead one right now.
Yes. Well, I was just talking to my friend who was telling me that, you know, they proceeded with the impeachment hearings, and they're making up their own rules, he says. And they were supposed to have a vote of the House. They didn't have a vote. They're not allowing the Republicans to subpoena their own witnesses. They're breaking all of the rules of how the impeachment is supposed to proceed. It's a kangaroo court, so to speak. And it was a kangaroo court that prosecuted Jesus as well. So he stands in good company. But, you know, you read back in Matthew that, reading in Matthew, chapter 26, verse 59, the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death, but they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. And so they were breaking the law. They weren't supposed to meet at night, which was against how the Sanhedrin was supposed to work. The chief priest, when he heard Jesus blaspheming and saying he could raise up this temple in 3 days, and they thought he literally meant the temple and he was committing blasphemy, he tore his clothes. Chief priests were not allowed to do that. They were not supposed to tear their clothes. So they broke rules right and left, just like our own kangaroo court. So it just reminded me. It's not the first time that this has happened, but he's in good hands, because if he's God's anointed, God is going to take care of him, and he's going to fulfill his promise that he raised him up for a purpose, and that if God wants to reset the rule of law, he's going to need to protect that person, that instrument that he's using in order to bring the rule of law about. So he's got to keep, appointing judges. He's got to keep issuing executive orders. He's going to have to give him strength. He's going to have to protect him. If he's going to use him as a servant, he's got to be faithful to his promise as well. So I'm encouraged by that. So let's all just bow our heads, and we're just going to pray for all of this. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for who you are, because all that we are asking is going to be in your name, by your power, by your ability, and by the promises that you have given us in your word. Lord, you are a faithful God, and you are a powerful God, and you do not tolerate sin. You hate lying lips, and you love those who are trustworthy. And Father, I know that you are grieved by what you're seeing in this country. You are grieved to the core, and angered by how they are spitting at your law. They are scoffing at you. They have made their own rules. They don't want to go and abide by and live by your rules. They want to make up their own rules of how to live. And they want to have righteousness by their own definition and not according to what your definition of righteousness is, Lord. And I know that that saddens you and angers you and grieves you, and it has to grieve us. And so, Father, we ask that you would expose the lies of the Democratic Party of the House and what they are trying to do, that the world would awaken to how they are abusing justice, that this is a kangaroo court, that this would all explode in their face, that it would be turned against them. And Lord, that you would use this to expose the pure evil that has infiltrated our Congress, not just with the Democrats. I know that there are Republicans as well, Lord, who are evil and are part of the evil world order, and I pray that they would be exposed as well. And so, Lord, expose the lies and let this all backfire on them. Bring this all back on themselves. And, Father, with the FISA reports, Lord, let the truth come out. Let it be exposed. Bring forth all of the witnesses. Bring forth an honest report. May the courts be filled, and may those judges be offended by the way that they were manipulated and lied to. And may the Department of Justice then bring about justice towards those criminals who lied to that court, that they would hold them in contempt, and that the Department of Justice would bring them to justice, and that they would be arrested and be held accountable for what they did, Lord, that they would be used as an example as well. And so, Lord, they're trying to take our vote away. They still can't get over that Trump won. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to show them that he's here to stay, and that you would continue to expose the evil, and that you would use our president and all of his advisors and all of his courts and all of his appointments and all of his executive orders in order to bring about the reset of the rule of law. Lord, so much has to happen, but Lord, little by little, you are chipping away at all of the injustices that we have been screaming about. Lord, this is heresy, what's been going on. This is hypocrisy, and this is a complete abrogation of justice, and may it not be, Lord. We claim this land for you. We are your people, and we are here, Lord, to do your bidding, and so help us to do our part, whatever that may be, Lord. If we need to pick up a pen and write, if we need to protest, whatever it is, Lord, raise up your holy people to protest against the abuses that are happening in our government. And so, Lord, expose the lies, expose the darkness. Let all of the evil players be exposed one by one, Lord, and rid this world of the horrific evil that has taken over. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who, despite the fact that he was falsely accused, because of that death, Lord, we have eternal life and we have the victory. So, Lord, the victory we know, the ultimate victory is yours, Lord, and we claim that victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Betty. Amen. Powerful, great energy, and terrific content, always so spot on. And you talked about how they are making up their own rules on this impeachment. And there is a school of thought that is pervasive now that Trump and the good guys actually want them to move forward with impeachment for a lot of reasons, specifically a couple of quick ones. Number one, public opinion that the American people don't want impeachment, so if they were to move forward with it, it'll backfire and it'll only gain support for Trump and his Republicans.
That's what I prayed. Let it backfire.
The other thing, quite fascinating, this comes to me from a lobbying firm in Washington, D.C. that I speak with, a close business associate of mine that runs a radio network, who has offered us some time on Sundays to do a radio show, interestingly. He has a son that runs a very powerful lobbying firm in D.C., and we spoke this week, and he is of the opinion from talking to Republican senators that they want the impeachment to come to the Senate because impeachments are run like jury trials, and they would get to examine and cross-examine any witness they want in the Senate. This would give them a chance to call in all of the dirty players, put them in front of the TV cameras, and ask them whatever questions they wanted. So there is a school of thought that this impeachment is a good thing to expose them and to gain public support. What do you think, Pastor Joseph?
Scotty, I'm in agreement. Even as we're praying and standing for that God takes what the enemy intended for evil, for wickedness, he turns around and he ends up getting trapped by his own snare, his own tool. So, absolutely.
Yep. It'll backfire on them. It'll come right back on to bite them in their own rear end.
I like
come on, Betty.
Well,
I'm laughing about it. I mean, I think it's hilarious.
It is not.
It's going to backfire. It's going to backfire.
It is not cut as dry as they think, and it's. You know, many of us have followed this military intelligence known as Q or QAnon, and we have heard many times the expression referring to the bad actors, excuse me, and the bad players. These people are stupid. And they sure seem to be unable to think critically. But then again, that's perhaps why they're in the position they're in and why they're... losing their control. We are awake. The world is enlightened, and we have the internet for information, and they're exposing their ignorance and their stupidity. It's not ignorance, it's stupidity. They're certainly not ignorant of the facts. They're just stupid in terms of their ability to analyze them. How could we sit around and talk about why impeachment is good for the good guys, yet they don't see it? It's amazing to me they don't see what we see and what many smart people in Washington, D.C. see. So we are on the right side of the spiritual war. That's what we know.
They've gone unchecked. They've had no reason to have to be awake. They've been allowed for such a long time to stay in their stupor and get away with it that now that there's someone actually calling them on their bluff, they're falling apart because they haven't had to operate that way.
Great now, point. Joseph, how many times in Scripture do we see that we've got those enemy armies and they come against Israel, which had a smaller number of people, and yet God, they sometimes turn against each other.
Come on. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we're definitely sitting on the right side of this spiritual war, and I thank you both for your input. Now, remind everybody, we are recording these calls, and we are talking about these issues so that we memorialize this period of history, and at some point in the future, we will use this content for other purposes. In fact, we may even use some of this in conjunction with the radio show I mentioned. We are going to move to our closing gratitude prayer. I have a couple quick announcements. We are posting these calls on our website. You should receive email notifications when these calls are up in case you want to go back and listen or you miss them, or perhaps you're so inclined to share them with somebody that you know would appreciate it. We have a web store with T-shirts and mugs. I got a call the other day, was told we've got a lot of inventory and to do whatever it takes to start getting rid of some of the initial inventory we purchased a year ago. So till the unforeseeable future, right now, if you buy a shirt or a mug, you will get one free. So go ahead, jump on the website, just order one item, a T-shirt or a mug, and when they ship the item, they will include a second item for free as well. So buy one, get one free, kind of the oldest promotion in the world, and why not use it to help you guys get your hands on our T-shirts and mugs. I think that's it, other than if you wouldn't mind, why don't you bring somebody to one of our calls this coming week? Please jump on a call, bring a friend or a family member. All right, so let's do as we always do and close with our prayer of gratitude. Lord, we devoted ourselves to prayer tonight, being watchful and thankful, and in turn you will show us the light at the end of this day and every day. Lord, we're grateful to be on our mission to pray for President Trump. We are grateful. He is our president. He is leading this storm, and he is focused on his mission and his purpose as President of the United States. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've bestowed upon our lives. Thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over all of us. Thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purposes. Thank you for your great love and your care, for your mercy and grace. Thank you that you are always with us and you never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom and sovereignty for the balance of our lives. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are and all that you do, for all that you've given us. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh each day. We give you praise and thanks. You alone are worthy. Lord, we're so grateful you heard our prayers tonight. We're grateful for our prayer leaders, Pastor Joseph and Betty. We're grateful for Kimberly and Diane and Ingrid and all those that help us lead prayers here over the past year. We're grateful to all of you prayer warriors that joined us on this call tonight, especially grateful for those who have been with us since August of 2018. Lord, let our roots grow down into you. Let our lives be built around you. Our faith will grow strong in the truth and overflow with thankfulness. We will not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. Lord, we're grateful for everything you have given us today and every day. Thank you so much for the loved ones in our lives, for the many ways in which all of us on this call are cared for and supported. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you for everything we are. Amen. Well, that concludes our call for September 29th. We'll see you again on Thursday. Hang up the phone, everyone, and have a great night and give someone a big hug. Bye-bye now.
Unlock the phone.